Last week, addressing the subject of fornication, amongst other things, we discussed that fornication or pornea is the fulfillment of a desire. Desire without a purpose. We further discussed that God created man and then blessed him, and this activity does not have the blessing of God. Fornication is a state that lacks the blessing of God. God created man and then blessed him. We also said that creation alone will not fulfill its purpose, but what validates creation, so to speak, is the blessing of this creation. God works in two steps, or two actions, or phases. The first is the creation, and then the blessing. In a sense, this fulfillment of the desire took place in paradise. Naturally, sexual desire was not the cause of the fall, since it did not exist at that point. Adam and Eve lived in purity in paradise. After the fall, Adam knew his wife, and she gave birth to Cain. They were not married in paradise. Marriage took place after paradise. In paradise, no marriage could take place, nor death. The old paradise was a prefiguration, a prefigurement of the kingdom of God in which there is no marriage nor death. So in paradise, the fulfillment of a certain desire took place. The eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge according to Genesis. This, however, was looked upon as spiritual fornication, an action of rebellion, a movement without the blessing of God. God said, "You will not eat." And this action was called by the fathers as the bizarre meal. Saint Andrew of Crete mentions this, the bizarre meal. This food had death in it. Wouldn't we avoid a certain food if we were told in advance that it was poisonous? That's why the fathers called it a bizarre meal. You want to have knowledge to satisfy your curiosity, even though it may kill you. In the same way, fornication, which serves as the fulfillment of desire and being void of the blessing of God, is certainly a bizarre action for a Christian. So fornication is the repetition of the original sin, having three basic characteristics. Number one, doing one's own will. It's my body, and I do what I want, as the slogan says. Not what God wants, but what I want. Number two, the desire, this bizarre desire. And number three, the lack of blessing of this action. But let's continue with the anatomy of fornication, which is basically the quest of pleasure. The apostolic commandments, an old book which expresses the teachings of the apostles, Apostolikae Diataie, which, by the way, is and recognized, it is an authentic book of our church, an authentic book of our holy tradition. In the sixth book, in the 28th chapter, paragraph 3, it says, "Fornication is the detriment of the body of the sinner, and its purpose is not childbearing, but its purpose stops at pleasure, which is the symbol of lack of self-control." Lack of self-control. So fornication is a great sin, because it simply does not have the blessing of God. Let's not forget that we should always seek for God's blessing, even for good things, as we mentioned at the end of our program last week. For instance, if we want to fast 3 days or 5 days, or if we want to fast for a week, increase our fast or increase our prostrations, whatever we need to do, we would be sinning if we do not have the blessing of our spiritual Father. We will be doing our own will. So fornication is a serious sin, and it has been classified by the fathers as one of the seven deadly sins. It holds second place after gluttony. So we will mention a few basic methods to counter this evil tendency of the human nature, which has been distorted after the fall. Of course, we will not exhaust the subject, but we will bring up several ways to succeed against this sin. Saint Cassian the Roman says, "This desire seduces men from the early years." And Saint Cassian said this about 1500 years ago. Then how more true is this today, when our children, the children at the elementary school level, are quite informed, thanks to their number one teachers, the big and small screens, the movies and television. So we must be quite aware and in tune with this very thing, and we should not be surprised if this desire makes itself evident. So if the desire is there, do not be surprised. However, do not give in to it. It is not necessary. We have many thoughts, many desires, and we don't always give in to them. We must know that this desire is put there for a certain purpose. And because this desire is now awake, it's awake somewhat early, thanks to our environment, still there is no reason to fulfill it before its time, especially in the form of fornication. In our life, we have certain time frames. We must be a certain age to drive. We must be a certain age to graduate from college, drink alcohol, retire. Even though we may desire some of these things much earlier, we must wait for them. So fornication is the lack of discipline, the lack of patience. It is a great struggle, according to Saint Cassian. To avoid the temptation, you must fight with your body and your soul. This sin offends the body and the soul of the human existence. And according to Saint Paul, it's the only sin that offends the body. Every sin committed by man is outside of the body, but he who fornicates sins against his body. So this sin infects the body and the soul. Now, what can serve as a prevention from this type of sin? How can a young man defend himself against this great evil which plagues our society today, with thousands and thousands of unwanted pregnancies, and destroys the lives of millions? For the Christian young men, this is a great matter, because it happens to be the cornerstone of all virtue, the subfloor of all virtue, so to speak. We will never be able to exercise any virtue if we don't first win against the demon of sexual immorality. It is impossible. There will be no progress whatsoever in the area of virtue if the demon of immorality is not totally defeated. So how can the young soldier of Christ overcome this enemy, which has scored tremendous victories worldwide, especially in our days? We will use some key points from Saint Cassian the Roman, and just a few basic things, basic elements, always reminding our audience that we don't exhaust any given topic in these series of lessons. We simply mention a few things to strengthen our fellow listeners. So how can we overcome this great temptation? First of all, with faith in Christ. The fighter must have strong faith in Christ. What kind of faith? Not simple faith. Not simply faith in the existence of Christ or His godliness, but faith in His words. I repeat, I must have faith in everything Christ said. Many people today claim to believe in Christ, but their actions, and this unfortunately includes all of us, the actions are often different from what Christ commanded. We seem to be able to separate the two, but that's not right. So the first way to overcome this temptation is by the faith in Christ, meaning that I must not take part in this sin because Christ said so. If we could only keep this awesome thought deep in our heart, it will be winning battle after battle for us. Christ said so. Christ told us not to. Final, no negotiation, period, it's over. We don't need to lock ourselves in the basement or the attic to be able to avoid this type of sin. We are free in Christ. We don't want this sin, period. We can choose to avoid it, regardless of the pressures, because Christ will fight for us from inside our heart. And our attitude should be, I don't want to commit this sin because Christ tells me not to do it. This is the meaning of a truly free young man, a great sense of freedom to be independent from the peer pressure and the demands of enslaved people who will in turn enslave you. So I hope you understand that our faith in Christ goes beyond some abstract lines. No, we believe everything that Christ says, and we follow it in our daily lives. We also need to understand that this battle that we will be fighting will be won by the help of Christ. Without His help, we will never make it. We need Christ's grace to succeed. St. Cassian says, let's not start to feel secure that through our strength of character and our abilities, we will succeed in this type of thing. No, we will only succeed with the help of our Lord. Christ said, without me, you cannot do anything. I believe in the 15th chapter of John. You might say, well, we have been doing so many things without Christ. Or people who do not have Christ, they certainly do a few things. Euripides, Plato, and Sophocles, and Socrates, and many others, they stayed celibate even though they were idolaters. St. John the Chrysostom says, it is not enough to be self-controlled, but to give a purpose to this self-control. And without divine intervention, there is no purpose. There is no purpose in celibacy, or fasting, or any other virtue that we try to attempt. We need the grace of God. St. Cassian says that this is a supernatural battle. We need God's help to be able to win. Another point that we must mention is that we must have humility for all of these things to work. The faith in Christ and the grace and help of Christ in the absence of humility will certainly not work. But St. Cassian continues that without humility, no one will be able to overcome fornication or any other temptation. For example, when your spiritual father tells you, listen, my son, don't sit in front of the TV set because you will sooner or later fall apart. You will be tempted. I spent quite some time explaining to a young man not to go to disco bars. No, you cannot spend your time there and expect to stay pure, at least not for very long. Now, if we're ready to argue like this young man, why? I'm strong. I can handle it. I am different. But this shows arrogance. Humility means that I accept what God tells me through the experience of the church, through the spiritual fathers. So if you rely on your own strength, you will soon fall flat on your face. There are so many examples of this type of thing. A young man was hanging around the wrong crowd, and after a while, he was losing ground. He panicked, and he wrote a letter to Father Athanasius to save him. "Please, Father, save me from this unbearable temptation. I can't handle it anymore." He ignored his preventive measures, and he thought he could stay immune to the sinful actions of his group. The truth is that it is almost impossible to save someone when they fill their house with explosives and take a match and light them. The fire department will get there, but what's the use? So humility means to obey at once whatever comes from God, whether you read it in the Bible or through the church or the advice of your spiritual father. Whether you understand it or not, and this is the difficult part, if we rely on our own intellect, on our own strength of character, thinking that these instructions cannot possibly apply to me, but to some other people, then we will be picking up the pieces very soon. And this is true, not just in the case of morality, but in all areas of our life. Pride comes before the fall, as the Psalms say. We insist at times that we know it all. This type of pride nearly cost me my life on the island of Corfu. I was a junior in college, and we were visiting Greece for the summer. I believe it was in 1977. With my neighbor and good friend Costa from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We went on a boat ride at Paleokastritsa in Corfu, and on the way back, I told the captain that I was going to dive from the boat and swim the rest of the way. Costa said, "Don't be foolish," and the captain showed the same concern. "No, I can't do it. It's not very far." Well, it was very far. It was so far, and the waters were so frozen, that only God knows what would happen if a tourist from Switzerland did not pull me over to the rocks with his raft. God had mercy on me that day, despite of my arrogance and foolishness. Needless to say, I stayed away from deep water for several years, and I gave up jumping off boats for good. So far, we said that to defend against this evil, we need to have strong faith in Christ, number one. We need to have strong faith in Christ's commandments, number two. Number three, we must have humility. And number four, Saint Cassian says that we must guard our heart from every unclean thought. Unclean thoughts, imaginations, desires, visualizations, we must learn to fight and control and dissipate these intruders from the area of our heart. But how can we do this when we argue with our parents endlessly to let us watch MTV? How can we do this when we run to see every PG or R-rated movie with all kinds of unethical scenes, illicit love affairs, criminal behavior, drunkenness, never mind nudity? When we serve our imagination, these images, nudity is the last thing we have to worry about. The damage is already done. Our brain cells receive the information, and now they'll begin to paint the pictures all by themselves, the very thing that our Holy Fathers advise against. In the 100th Psalm, we read, "In the morning we must kill all the sinners of the earth." According to the interpretation of the Church, the sinners of the earth are the evil and unclean images and thoughts. And in the morning we must kill them, meaning that we should destroy these thoughts at the very beginning, from the start. Our Holy Gerund, our Father Ephrem, speaks on this extensively, on this work of the heart. that we need to do in order to avoid sinning in this way. He says it is necessary to watch so when the evil thoughts appear, the sinful images are beginning to close in, we must be ready for battle with watchfulness of the mind, so we can prevent the evil thoughts and not allow filthy images to appear in our imagination. When we defend against these things, then there is no anxiety in the inner man. There is no cause for alarm. On the contrary, when we allow evil thoughts to enter, they cause alarm and excitement in our inner being. And this can lead to many, many bad things. When the mind is kept free from these evil thoughts and filthy images, the devil and sin is impossible to enter. And this because everything starts from the mind. When we keep our mind pure, not allowing all these things to provoke us, then the inner house of our heart and soul will be in good condition. Therefore, if our desire is the peace of our inner self, and the peace of our heart and our soul, let's work a little not to allow the evil thoughts to intrude easily. Naturally, the intrusion of evil thoughts is possible. We cannot always control what comes in, because it is natural for a man of passions to have the intrusions of evil thoughts. This does not necessarily mean defeat. We don't fall when we simply have an evil thought, but the fall will take place when we open the door and welcome these evil thoughts. We allow these evil thoughts to enter inside the living room of our heart and mind. Once the evil thought is in our heart, then we must undertake a great struggle, and unless we fight and resist and get angry with this type of thought, then these thoughts will captivate us. And they will create for us a state of sin, which leads to consent. The state of consent equals to the action for the soul. Just like someone can sin with the action of the body, in the same way, someone is sinning when the soul reaches a state of consent. This is precisely why the Lord says, anyone who sees a person and desires that person, he has sinned in his heart. So we do have the sin of the heart. So as soldiers of Christ, we must learn to destroy these evil thoughts from the onset, from the start. Some people who are ignorant of this science of sciences and work of works, this great technique of manipsis, they say, well, since I didn't actually and physically do the act, since my thoughts were not acted out, then where's the harm? Yes, but the evil deeds do not start by themselves. The body does not sin by itself unless the instruction comes from the heart and the mind. The heart and the mind falls first. So if we guard and protect the mind with the watchfulness and the fear of God, and we have the wisdom that here is where the sliding of the soul will take place, it's at the heart level, then when a man sees an object or a person or something and he becomes scandalized, he will instantly call on the spiritual guard of watchfulness. He will pull his eyes away from this image, and he will try to wipe away from his imagination, or he'll start the prayer instantly, right away, and he will defend against the evil intruder from slipping into the heart. Unfortunately, most of our young people do not know these techniques, and the devil, with his craftsmanship and mastery, tries very, very masterfully and quietly to create some circumstances and begin to lay the necessary groundwork so when the child gets older, his evil work over the years would have taken root. So the accumulation of all these sins over a period of time masks over the grace of the Holy Spirit, And all these garbage piles of sin accumulate and bury the grace of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit does not illumine the mind, and the man walks in darkness. And this is precisely the reason why a lot of our young people do not practice the faith. They need to be freed, and only God can free them.